Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. That is, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. And after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم. All praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين. And commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ. To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله, and upon his family, وصحبه, and upon his companions, أجمعين. ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك. أما بعد, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا بني آدم قد أنزلنا عليكم لباسا يواري سوآتكم وريشا واللباس التقوى. ذلك خير ذلك من آيات الله لعلهم يتذكرون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. The Yusuf Ali expression of this, the 26th ayah of the 7th surah, Surah Al-A'raf, says, O children of Adam, we have bestowed the raiment upon you to cover your shame, as well as to be an adornment to you, but the raiment of righteousness that is the best. Such are among the signs of Allah, that they may receive admonition. There's a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in part that I want to introduced at this point, then we're going to go back to the verse, inshallah. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا كلن أحدكم خبثت نفسي ولكن ليقول لكست نفسي. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And an expression of this is, none of you should say, my soul has become evil. But he should say, my soul has become remorseless. That's a translation. A lot of time we're going to spend, inshallah, on the matter of translation in this subject. So we need to take a look at the term shame in detail for a better expression of the meaning, of the Quranic Arabic term here, right? To listen to the word that has been quote unquote translated by Yusuf Ali as your shame, translated as your shame. It is sawa'atikum, sawa'atikum. This is seen while hamza, ta, kaf, meem, and that's attached pronoun, the kum. So it's talking about sawa'at, talking about that they have translated as shame. So the word is sawa'atikum. It's closer to, in its meaning, that which inclines you to wrongdoing and disobedience, that which inclines you to wrongdoing and disobedience. A couple of verses to frame that understanding is from 53, ayah 53 from Surah Yusuf, that is chapter 12, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما أباري نفسي إن النفس لعمارة بسوء إلى ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. And an expression of this is, nor do I absolve myself of blame because, and I'm using Yusuf Ali's translation to start this, The human soul is certainly prone to evil unless my Lord do bestow his mercy. But surely, certainly, my Lord is all-forgiving, most merciful. Another verse that has bearing on our need to better understand what Allah said and that was translated as shame in 26 of Surah Al-A'raf. And it is the 50th, I believe, at that Surah Al-Qaf, the 50th Surah and the 16th Ayah. A'udhu Billah, it says, وَلَّقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل وريد. صدق الله العظيم. And again, a Yusuf Ali translation of this is, it is we who created man, and we know what dark suggestions his soul makes to him, for we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. There is a whole world in every one of these ayahs that we've read. But I only read those two so that we can have in our mind, and I believe that that's what we actually do need to understand, because what's actually being I can say, juxtaposed in this is what the world has told us about Adam and the, quote-unquote, the false label of original sin. And by one man's sin, death entered into the world. and the human being sinful by nature, because we spoke last week that everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized. And we've been socialized in a Trinitarian world, by and large, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the whole idea, and Jesus took on the flesh so he can come and die for the sins of the world. And that's the milieu of our psychology in this environment. That's the dominant frame. That's the dominant narrative in the West and really in the world by, I'll have to use the phrase, by virtue, even though much of it is vice, by virtue of the spread of Western European Trinitarian Christianity in the world. And so that means that that brush has stroked over a large part of the population of the world, and certainly us here. That literally is what, I mean, we live in communities where there's, you know, four churches on four corners in many of the parts of our cities. All right. So it's important to understand. Now let's bring in the idea of when we say Al-Fatiha, we say Al-Fatiha, one part of the phrasing at the very end is that Walad Dhalin, translated usually as those who go astray, right? And understood generally, first order, is that one of the groups that's mentioned is Bani Israel, those among Bani Israel who are wrongdoers, and so the wrath of Allah has come down on them. But then also it's understood that the Dhalin is, quote-unquote, the Trinitarian Christians, those who say God, the Most High, Allah, the Most High, has begotten a son, and that that son was crucified for his love of the world. Y'all know that story, so I don't have to go through all that. So, all right, the Dhalin is, okay, you've had, now we're talking about the minds that debated for three centuries about the nature of Jesus, the nature of God, the nature of human beings, and they came to the conclusion that this Western Trinitarian Christianity gives us today, and that is man is sinful by nature, Adam committed the sin, he ate the apple, and again, we already know. Okay, so what are we saying? In order to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, and in order to get the rich, because it's not a, quote-unquote, a complete lie. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a complete lie per se. It's just off the mark. At another time, we've done it before, but at another time, we go back to it because the Quran, remember, Quran is a correction, a commentary, a completion, and a continuation of the previous revelation. It just comes to edit what the world has received as of the time of the Quran. Say, okay, you say this, but not quite right if you say it like that. Shift it over here, right? So where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. You would have to go to the grammar, and of course, mashallah, there's no discovery on my part. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, makes it very plain. And when you understand that statement, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, then it gives you a tweak, a better understanding, a better focus for the error that comes in saying man is created sinful by nature. Because in that statement, it says man was created weak. But then when you also understand the grammar of it, you say, okay, but who did it? Who did it, right? And when you start looking, we put that aside and you start looking, okay, what is this actually saying, who did it? And when you look at that, you say, oh, God didn't do it. Somebody did it, but that's not my subject. So the point is, I'm mentioning these two because here Yusuf is saying, look, I'm not saying, now I'm back to our zip code, right? So Yusuf is saying, look now, I'm not saying I don't have my faults. I don't have my errors. I don't have my shortcomings. You know, I don't hold myself blameless. And then he explains why. Because the nafs al-amaratu, which is the first level that we all are on, is inclined to su'in. It's inclined to disobedience, rebellion, illa ma rahima rabbi, except the one who receives the mercy from their Lord. Add to that the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he told Aisha, that was your jinn. Said, you have a jinn? Say, yes, I do, but Allah has helped me to overcome mine. It's become Muslim, and he only commands me to do good. I'm free from his mischief. But the orientation is towards mischief on the first order, and that's what Joseph is recognizing. Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam is recognizing, and therefore this is what we have to recognize. So the whole idea of playing hyper-pious or playing like, you know, I have no sin, you know what I'm saying, see how white my garment is, no. You know, all of us. And Yusuf said, I'm no different, right? I don't hold myself to be sinless. But I do know this. If you don't pay attention to what's going on in your soul on the first order, then you would be inclined to the evil and the wrongdoing, all right? And also, Allah himself, so all the words are from Allah in the Quran, of course, we know. But he spoke, quote, unquote, through the person of Yusuf, alayhi salatu wa sallam, in that one that I mentioned. But he also, in this one, 50:16, where he says that, لَخَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا يُوَسْوِسُ يُوَسْوِسُ. Now, you all know, you've heard that, Surah An-Nas, I believe it is. They know we have Jumu'ah in here, so it's like, let me go ahead and just do what I do. Shaitan, so Shaitan, he's always going to show up. Moving right along. Apparently they're moving right along, too. That's good. an FOI flash just went through my mind. It'd be a whole different kind of party. Alhamdulillah. Let me come back in the house. Okay, you are Swiss. You know about that. All is very, very rich. Al-Khannas. There's a relationship, Al-Khannas. There's a relationship to nafs al-amaratu. There's a relationship to the jinn. There's a relationship to our growing soul, right? So, but that's just, this is all for context. So, Allah is saying, we created you, and we know the dark suggestions that your own self makes to you. We put it in hood talk again, you know. Dad, you know how I talk like that. It's like God says, so don't front me. Don't front on me. Look, I created you, man. I know what you think about. I know what you fantasize about. I know what you imagine. I know the scenarios that you play out in your mind. So don't act like you don't do that. I know that. Allah, he said, because I am closer to the person than their own jugular vein. Long teaching that goes with that. Now, I'm just going to mention this to remind and reinforce for you. Al-Islam is a total system. It's a system. Imagine you're looking at my body, but my skin is transparent. You're looking at my body, but my skin is this outer skin, transparent. What are you going to see? You're going to see organs in the body, muscles in the body, bones in the body, all these things doing what they do in order to keep this person, you know, existing and acting in the world. Now, abstract that and recognize that we have a soul body, and it has its organs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophet, peace be upon him, Allah has just said, he says, I am nearer to him than the jugular vein. Tied this to what? where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the people tried to act like they were going to hide some wrongdoing that the Prophet may have been doing, as they saw him coming out from i'tikaf with a woman at night, and then they tried to, like they go, where the Prophet said, whoa, this is my wife, Safiya. Said, oh, Prophet, come on, man. You know, he said, no. I didn't want Satan to get started in you, because Satan circulates in the body like the circulation of blood. And Allah said, I am nearer to you than your jugular vein. I know what's circulating in your blood. And so Joseph is also saying, like, hey, man, don't get off of that holier than thou, that whole I'm pure, don't, ain't no wrong in me. Give it up. Don't even dress up for the program. And when you see someone that's really driving that, man, you can't just go the other, don't be rude, but if you can just kind of go in the other direction, it's like, come on, man. Miss me with that garlic, man. I don't feel like smelling that. It's very important. Now, the other side of it is, don't excuse yourself. Well, everybody got sin. You know, everybody do some wrong, man. You know, you stay by then by night. Okay, now you on the Satan merry-go-round. See, it's about finding the balance to that reality. Okay, that's a reality. Okay, what do I do? That's what this verse is talking about, among many other things, Allahu A'lam. So now, look at the statement now. Change the words a bit. We have bestowed raiment upon you so that you won't become guilty through disobedience. I didn't include it in my notes, but I can mention it. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, and he said, "Oh Allah, do not leave me alone for a second to deal with myself." It's not an exact word. Of course, the Arabic would be better. But the message, the Prophet is saying, look, I need you all, Allah. I need you all the time. Because there's always something trying to move me in the wrong direction. He gives that to us. His Muslim is converted, but he gives us that dua. So, like, look, you heard me making the dua. Now, you know if I need to make the dua, you know you need to do more than that, right? Because the fact is that we all can be subject without taqwa. What is this without taqwa? When, if we fail to pay attention in an instant, my chess players know about this. You playing chess? And it's like, where's the water I brought in here? Oh, it's over there. You come in, boom, checkmate. What? Just a moment of inattention, just looking away, boom. And that's how Shaitan operates too. All he needs to do. Some of y'all know about basketball. All he needs is just put a hezzy on. You know what a hezzy is? You know, you do the dribbling the basketball, and then he just shake, and now you going this way, and they're going to the hoop, right? Well, that's how Shaitan do. Shaitan put a hezzy on you, and you going one way, and he got you. So the idea is for us to always be paying attention, and that's what taqwa is. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has given you taqwa for that purpose. I've given you taqwa to protect you from your inclination to disobedience. So we have an inclination on the first order, nafs al-amara. We have a tendency, an orientation, a proclivity to disobey at the first order. And if we don't have this taqwa at that time, then we will wind up in wrongdoing and disobedience and guilty through that. So we want to draw a clarification between the idea of guilt and shame, the issue of guilt and shame. It's very important. So where it says that Allah has given us, Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسٌ يُوَارِيُوا سَوَآتِكُمْ وَعِشَانٌ وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ, where the translator says that to cover your shame. So ashamed, I'm talking about A-S-H-A-M-E-D, it comes into it, but not when you say, oh, I'm ashamed. You do something and say, I'm ashamed of what I did. I'm ashamed of what I did. That's actually an admission of guilt, right? An admission of guilt. You know, we have language, my bad, right? It's an admission of guilt, right? So to protect us from becoming ashamed, yeah, that's true, but not in the way that Shaitan wants you to feel. Here's, it's so, so very important. Do you understand that Shaitan's object is to wreck your whole party? Do you understand? Shaitan is trying to take you out, blow you to smithereens as a person, destroy you in, when I say you, it's me, all of us, the human being. He is an avowed enemy, Adu'un Mubin. Like, my enemy is the human being and the human destiny, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make sure as few of them as I can possibly, that is, as many as I can possibly stop them from reaching that destiny in themselves and in the world, all right? So that's his plan. So getting you to feel guilty or getting you to act and behave in a way where you will feel ashamed or you will feel guilty. So this is why his invitation is to disobedience. Because if he can get you to disobey, then that's the first domino for him. Look at the story of Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. Moses wasn't a prophet at this time, right? And he saw one of his brothers having a fight, wherever. Hit the man, knocked him out. He said, I was a beloved. He said, I didn't hit that dude there. All right, what's up? But he's gone, right? Comes back to the town. His brother's in a skirmish again. He said, oh, okay, well, you're the one that's making all the trouble. And then someone came and said, Moses, they out here. And so Moses left. You know the rest of the history. But then when he came back as a prophet before Pharaoh, and he said, I know you. You're the one that killed that dude. And Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, you know that dude, not in the Quran, right? And Moses said, yeah, I did that when I was ignorant. I did that before I was guided. Now, don't we all have a story like that? Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah for the used to be. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So then that's what Shaitan seeks to do. And there's a verse in the Quran, mashallah, I don't have it with me right now, I'll find it. But where the Quran says, and Satan caused them to fail because of some wrong they had done. Satan's ticket into our destruction is just to get us to do something wrong. Once he can get us to do something wrong, then like a spark, you're trying to start a campfire in the wilderness, right? And you flint stone, you use whatever you use. For you know that you have a full fire, right? And if you want to understand hell coming out of Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah,
He said he speaks of hell as being from the fires of sin. Waqina azabun nar. He says the fires of sin, right? Why? Because that's what started the flame. What starts it, and then Satan blows on it, and then when he blows on it, then we're surrounded by the hell that came from that first era. And how does it come through? It comes through Yuas whistle, right? He whispers. But what did he say? Now you say you are Muslim. Look at you. And you say you are Muslim? You need to just give it up. Man, you need to stop fronting, man. You need to stop acting like talking about, you know, you can't be no Muslim. How you gonna be a Muslim after that? I mean, really? Who's talking? Shaitan. Trying to get you to feel so much shame. That is the guilt. He wants to move the guilt from just guilt, my bad. He wants, no, this is no worse than that. Who's talking? Shaitan. And so you become excessive in your own doubts about yourself, about your faith, about your fitness, about your worthiness. And then you wind up beating yourself down. And that's what Satan wants you to be. So much so where you deny that you're even fit for the grace and the mercy of Allah. That's Shaitan. Yeah, it's time to move on to the next one. I got that one. Who's next? So that's what Shaitan wants. He's not satisfied with us just being guilty. Shaitan wants us to feel unfit for the grace and the mercy of Allah to the extent that we give up hope of Allah's grace and mercy. Just think about it. I'm hopeless. There's some people in the world who have decided about themselves, and some Muslims, mashallah, Allahu alam, I'm not fit. And there's an element of arrogance in there. It's like, oh, your sin is so big, Allah can't forgive you. God said, what can I do with that? No, Allah is not in that position. And this is why one of the aspects of the last portion that we read, Inna Rabbi Ghafur Rahim, in that verse that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, it says, surely your guardian evolver is forgiving and merciful. Forgiving and merciful. Those attributes, never give up on those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand that. So from an Islamic language perspective, guilt is healthier. Guilt is healthier than shame. Now we're going into just a little bit of language in this portion of khutbah. There's a first order, right? We mentioned, and I'm not trying to teach the whole thing. Nafs al-amara to nafs al-lawwama, nafs al-mutma'inna, but that's a part of the whole Islamic system. So the point is that inna nafs al-amara to bisu'in illa ma rahima rabbi, except for the one who receives the mercy from their Lord. That's first order. First order, nafs al-amara. And the first inclination is to disobedience. That's the first inclination of that. Taqwa, when you have taqwa, you're being aware of that. You recognize that propensity. You acknowledge in the system of Allah that you're on level one. That's where you are. And so, therefore, what do you need? You need taqwa. You always need taqwa, but you need taqwa, particularly there, so that you can pay attention to the urges and those impulses, those dark suggestions that your soul makes to you. Now, let's clarify this on the soul dimension. There's nafs with the capital N transliterated, right? There's nafs with the capital N, and then there's also nafs with the small N, right? So nafs with the capital N is nafsun wahida, khalaqakum min nafsun wahida. It's the one soul. Do you know all of us are just one soul? We have our separateness in this three-dimensional space, but in reality, we're all connected. We're all connected. Each one of us is a node in the universal soul type called nafsun wahida. But there is the nafs, small n nafs, which is your personality, your socialized personality. Each one of us has been socialized in a particular way. And the Quran says this, 17th chapter, 84th verse, clarifying, everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized, right? If you grew up in the South, you were socialized different than people who grew up in the North. If you were socialized in the West, you were socialized different than people in the East. If you grew up in America, then you were socialized different than people who were socialized in Africa, blah, 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 blah. That's it. So that's the small in nafs. So every one of us have our own personality, right? And it's also said, and it's true, that your personality is the personalization, your mind is the personalization of your brain. All of us, same brain, same neurology, every human, no different brain than any of us, but the socialization gives us different brain patterns. And the socialization giving us different brain patterns also give us different personalities. And those different personalities cause us to behave in different ways. Now, inside of that socialization, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says everyone is born al-fitr. Allah says we're born on fitr. All of us are born on fitr, but it is their culture that makes them otherwise. All right? So there are the insinuations, inclinations, impulses, urges, perceptions that come into us that are not from our nature, they are from our society. So that nafs is the nafs that can also give us these false, wrong ideas, which is, that's where Shaitan said he's going to be driving his work from. I'm going to come at them from the right, from the left, from before, from behind. What is he saying? I'm coming to you through the environment. I'm coming at you through the environment. In fact, the environment itself means that which surrounds the mind, all right? So I'm going to get into the systems that feed your mind, and I'm going to give you urges and appetites and visions and desires and aspirations that suit my desire for the way you want, the way I want you to act. Okay, so nafs al-amara, nafs al-amara is that first order and has an inclination. I must say, the world that we live in right now is aimed directly at the nafs al-amara. It's aimed directly at cultivating, and Shaitan said that's what he's going to do. Fourth chapter, 119th verse. I will create in them false desires and cause them to do things ill, but make that ill doing fair seeming to them. I'm going to be the source of their conscience. And I'm going to give them a conscience that's not their natural conscience. I'm going to give them an artificial conscience. I'm going to strip them of the raiment that God gave them by nature, and I'm going to model for them and show them and expose them regularly to a set of values that contradict what their natural conscience says and make them feel guilty about upholding their natural conscience. Because the rest of the world is going to be saying, oh, you Miss Goody Two Shoes. You need to get down off your high horse. Ain't no shame in my game. That's just a cultural construct. Make you believe that a man marrying a woman is the only way it's supposed to be. Come on, you can do the rest of it. So what are they trying to do? Trying to replace your natural conscience with an artificial conscience. If they succeed in doing that, and upon many they have succeeded, then that's being stripped of your raiment. You're being stripped of your natural moral conscience, and you're being given a 20th century American moral conscience that contradicts your own nature. So what protects us? Taqwa. Taqwa is what protects us from that. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر Bismillah. So from an Islamic language perspective, guilt is healthier. So now, given that you succeed in that, you understand, whenever I say you, I mean we. That's where I am. So, nafs al-a'mal, you want to get off that level. How do you get it? You get off that level. You get off that level, meaning that it's always going to be a part of us, but the point is that when you maintain your natural conscience, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, when your good deeds please you and your ill deeds displease you, then you're a believer. That's how you know. Am I still human? Am I still a believer? Well, how do you feel about your ill deeds? Because you're going to have them. How do we feel about our ill deeds? Oh, I don't like it. I do feel ashamed. I do feel guilty. I do acknowledge that it's wrong. All right. Good. Now, what do I do? Follow up an ill deed with a good deed, because the good deed erases the ill deed and behave well toward people. That's how Islam tells you to keep moving through life. Because we are going to have shortcomings and failings. We are going to miss the mark. And we are going to be influenced to that, as the verse says in the Quran, min al-jinnati wan-nas. It's going to be coming from the outside. It's also going to be coming from the inside. And you have to have taqwa to always be aware, halt, who goes there. Meaning that urges and impulses, if the light is on inside of you, you say, oh, wait a minute, that thought is very un-Islamic. That idea, that thinking, oh, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. Because he's always trying to move into your subjectivity, but taqwa is supposed to be the guard. Taqwa is the guard. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what the Prophet says, none of you truly believes until his urges and impulses follow what I have brought. So we all have urges and impulses. And the proclivity of them is to disobedience first. That's nafs al-a'mal. But with taqwa, we're able to recognize the wrong and able to recognize the urges and the impulses that run counter to our natural conscience. And in doing that, we watch the impulses. Fasting is one of the prime ways that we learn to master that. But we have to do it all year long, right? So this conscience here, that we have in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until his ahwahum, till the hawar follows what I have brought, then that means we populate that consciousness, that evaluation, that judgment, that by which we evaluate what's right and what's wrong. We do that with what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is good. We have to rebuild our own mind. Remember, your personality, your mind is the personification, or rather the personalization of your brain. But if the brain patterns that your mind have come into are not sourced from the Quran and from the life model of Prophet Muhammad and from the natural conscience that you have, then you have to retool your mind. Because there are things that we've gotten used to doing and we were fine with it. But if it's not on the proper order, then we're going to have to get rid of that and line ourselves up with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered for us. That's the practice of al-Islam. That's the reconstruction of ourselves in the practice of, through the practice of al-Islam. All right, so sometimes people call it shame. But there's an important distinction that the Quran and the Prophet makes, and that is a distinction that is recognized in psychoanalysis as well. I said that guilt is healthier than shame. See, if a person has no guilt, you may be dealing with a psychopath. So it's when the verse said that don't say, or the hadith says, don't say that my soul has become evil, but say that I become remorseless. Remorseless is an attribute of a psychopath. A psychopath is somebody that doesn't feel for, doesn't regulate their behavior and their thinking by a set of social standards that are approved. Listen, in this world, you ever heard this phrase, ain't no shame in my game? If they say there ain't no shame in my game, that means I have no moral regulator. So I may do anything at any time and not feel guilt or remorse. So feeling guilt is good from the perspective of, I need to correct myself. If you don't feel guilt, you don't feel the need for self-correction. When you feel guilt, oh, my bad, I need to do something about that. But based on what standard? Because guilt is what we feel when we violate our own values. Guilt is what we feel when we violate our own values. Question, where do you get your values from? So when you accept Islamic values, and when you accept Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as laqad khalaqna al-insana, as the perfect man, insana, kamil, rajul kamil, as the perfect man, as the model, then he becomes the standard by which you judge, we judge our behaviors and our action, and we practice to try to emulate and try to get close to that model, close to that example. In so doing, we are repatterning our brain. We are reconstructing our mind along the line of that. We become a new person. We return to what Allah originally created us to be. Yes, that's the work of al-Islam. Ask yourself, okay, what am I doing if I'm not doing that? I mean, what am I doing if I'm not doing that? Okay? So guilt is often experienced when we act against our own values. Shame, on the other hand, is a deeply held belief that we are unworthy as a person. And we're coming to a conclusion. I focus on this particularly because the translator has said that the taqwa has been given to you to protect you from your shame. Right? And there's a place where it has meaning. But also in the English language and in the milieu that we're in, shame is a source of a lot of problems for human beings, a lot of problems for people in society. We hear language like body shaming, different kinds of shaming, right? And when you understand shame as a tool of shaitan, in the context that I'm giving, he wants you to just feel bad. But what does he want you to feel bad about? He wants you to feel bad about yourself. Why? Because your true self that Allah created you as, that's what he's jealous of. That's what he refused to bow to. That's who he saw taking his spot. So I have to undermine that in every human being. I say, Satan, I want you to have doubts about your nafs. I want you to not trust your nature. I want you to see Satan. I want you to see yourself as unfit for the grace and the mercy. Remember Shaitan? He said, I'm going to come at them this way, that way, this way, and that way. And when you come for them, when that respite, when that time is over, you'll find most of them ungrateful. And what Satan is saying, you're giving them all that, and they are ungrateful. And I'm going to prove they're unworthy. manipulating the very nature that you gave them. And Allah said, go ahead. I'll fill hell with you and whoever follows you, but the mukhlisin al-lahuddin, you won't be able to get them. Anybody else want to rock with you? Hey, rock on. Go to hell. And you will not be ruling in hell. You'll be there like all the rest of them. So this, brother and sister, this unworthiness, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in. Listen to what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and I hope that I've connected well enough for you to appreciate the mercy of Allah to us and the perfect favor of giving us al-Islam as a way of life. A way of life where it's like a complete change of clothes. It's like take off all those old garments from a psychic perspective and put on a whole new set of clothes. How you feel when you put on brand new clothes and they the ones you wanted? It's like, hey, man, I picked this out. Boom, it was going to hit what I got. Boom. Or our wives picked it out for us. You know how that go. Anyway, and then you get dressed and you look at it and say, man, I'm sharp today. I don't know what tomorrow, but I'm sharp today, right? So this is a favor of Allah. Allah said you can take off all that socialization. You can take all that personalization of the mind that was given to you from a society that has no respect for your original nature, and you can dress yourself up again in the right mind, right spirit that you were originally created in. And so the mercy of Allah comes to us through the Prophet, rahmatan lil alameen. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an, she said, none of you should say, she's repeating the Prophet, that he said, none of you should say, my soul has become evil, but should say, my soul has become remorseless. That's the translator. Let's look at the words. Quickly. لا يقولون, لا يقول لنا أحدكم خبر أبطمي خبثت نفسي ولكن ليقول لقست نفسي. Quick expression of it is no one should say خبثت. Prophet didn't like that because خبثت means to be bad, corrupt, base, abominable, wicked, abominable, wicked. It means, when you say that, it means a thing wherein there is no good. So the Prophet is saying, don't say that about your soul. Why? Allah created your soul. And Allah doesn't create evil. So don't say that about your soul. But now if there's some things that you know and recognize that are bad about the way you are, the Prophet said, but you can say, lakhisat nafs. And this lakhisat, this term isn't in the Quran. When you go look for it, it's not in the Quran. But in Lane's lexicon, there's a very brief entry. And the first part of it says, it means that his soul or his stomach heaved or became agitated by a tendency to vomit or become heavy. That's like, you know, I got a very serious upset stomach, right? Now, when you look at that and go back to Khabathat, which obviously I can't do, which is, it is very similar to the base meaning of Khabathat. So they share a semantic field that in that idea of being, of having an upset stomach or being ill, inclining toward vomiting or what have you, that's there. But this very small entry regarding Khabathat, it brings this understanding. It carries the sense that his soul strove with him to incline him to the thing and become greedy for it, right? More later. But it's obsession, even addiction. It's like there's something that you want, and it's pulling you away from what you know is right, and it's inclining you to not only want it, but to be greedy for it, and it's out of bounds for your set of values. So what's our common urban way of saying that? I'm struggling with something right now. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm struggling with something right now. And that's what the invitation is. The prophet said, no, don't say your soul is evil because your soul is perfect as God created it. Fujura wa taqwa, right? It already knows. But that personality that you got from the world, that's not lining up with what Allah has ordered. But that's the favor of Allah. But so don't put that bad label on your soul. So don't feel that shame to the level of, man, I'm just jacked to the back. I'm no good. Don't do that. But you can say, I'm struggling with something right now. And I think that if we are sincere to ourselves first and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think all of us can say and should say, I'm struggling with something right now. And when we recognize that and accept that and that that's okay, meaning that you are struggling, alhamdulillah, don't allow shaitan to shame you into doubts about Allah's grace, about Allah's mercy, about Allah's forgiveness. You are reachable by God. And I can reach you. What you think you on something so deep that Allah can't get you? What you talking about? Allahu Akbar. So the idea is, but you have to decide, I want Allah's, quote, salvation, unquote. I need Allah's help on this thing that I'm struggling with right now. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum la ta'khudhu sanatan wa la nawm lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the great and perfect favor of Al-Islam. Oh Allah, make us sincere to this way of life that you have blessed us with. Oh Allah, please save us from our own self-delusion. Save us from our own self-doubt. Save us from our shame. Save us from being overwhelmed by guilt. Oh Allah, bless us and help us to have victory over our urges and impulses that are contrary to the design that you have for our life. Oh Allah, move us through all phases from nafs al-amara to nafs al-lawama to nafs al-mutma'inna. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Oh Allah, bless us to learn how to understand and to know and to study and to emulate the model example Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have given us. Oh Allah, bless us to learn how to love him. Bless us to learn how to emulate him. Bless us to learn how to understand him. Bless us to learn how to think in the ways that he leads us to think. Oh Allah, bless us to understand our way of life through his example. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa alaykum as-salam. لا إله الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استو استقيم يرحمكم الله ويثابكم الله الحمد لله الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر وسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. تقبل الله. الحمد لله. Very brief announcements today, and they are both involving Georgetta Bayar. الحمد لله. Iram Georgetta Bayar will be celebrating their wedding anniversary. Oh, sorry, no number. I know it's a lot. Iron Georgetta Bayar. Georgetta, I know you're listening. Type in those years for me, how many years you got, so I can know. We're going to let people know. I think it's something like 48, probably. Any case, and also, Women of Message War theme, monthly Zoom meeting, 5:30, and that's tonight. 5:30 tonight at the Maghrib. No message from her, but inshallah, may Allah bless both of them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah bless her.